So at the time they decided to move me to Carmi, I began to look at other possibilities, and I considered going back to law school. So I made a trip home to Tulsa to visit with a gentleman that my wife's family knew by the name of George Bowen. George Bowen was general counsel for Sun Oil Company and located here in Tulsa. He was considered to be one of the top oil and gas attorneys in the country. He had actually been hired into the job by J. Howard Pugh in Philadelphia and was very highly regarded. When I talked to George about going back to law school, what I remember him saying is, "Don, there's always a place at the top for really good attorneys." I also then visited a friend of mine from the service by the name of Dale Henson, who had left the service and gone to Texas University into law school. And I went down to visit him to see how he was getting along, and he just loved the study of the law. So I made the decision to go back to law school and take a leave of absence from Conoco.
Law school was where?
Law school was at Oklahoma University at Norman. I never considered anything else. At that time, the University of Tulsa was a part-time law school. People went to night school there, and I didn't want to do it that way. I wanted to devote myself to a full course of study. My wife was offered a job in the legal department at Conoco while I took a leave of absence.
This would have been what year?
This was after I'd spent 3 years in Ardmore, and it was in 1960. I enrolled in the fall of 1960.
All right. Was that a good experience? Were you glad you were doing it, or were there days that I wish I'd never done this?
Well, I actually wondered because I was making good money with Conoco, but I had determined that I was going to devote myself to the job, and I was going to do it the way it needed to be done. So we bought a small home in Norman and moved there. I had bought a really nice brand new home in Ardmore. Hated to leave it, but I was going to have to leave it under any circumstance, so that wasn't a factor. When I started to law school, I talked to anybody I could talk to about how to approach law, and they said, read your briefs every day and write out your briefs on paper. So I did one better. I would read my briefs, underline them, and then type out the nature of the case in a notebook. Then I would take copious notes during class, and I would come home and type up my notes every day. And then every 3 or 4 weeks, I would begin to outline my notes so that I would have a running outline of the course. The first semester, I did okay. I did like a B+. They graded on a 12-point system, with 12 points being A+, 11 being A, 10 being A-, and I had like an 8.33, so I was a B or a B- my first semester. I had difficulty in one course in contracts that I made a C in. I think that probably was the only C I made in law school. At the end of the first semester, I visited that teacher and got some recommendations on what I needed to do. And I went to the library and read books on how to take tests in law school. And I also learned that you could check out tests from previous years, so I would do that. I was bound and determined I was going to give it everything I had. In the second semester, I did even better. I think it was like a 9.5. I determined I would go to 2 summer schools and cut off a full semester so I could graduate in January of 63. And that summer school, I really found myself and made A+ in both of the courses that I took. And that put me in the top position in the law class. And I maintained that position throughout the rest of my law school time.
So then you graduate in 63.
Graduated in January of 63.
And then?
Well, during the time I was in law school, I was initiated into Order of the Coif, which is the highest scholastic fraternity. I was also invited to write on Law Review. The very first article I wrote was an article on oil and gas. It was called Subsurface Trespass. It was a look at the legalistics of fracking, as we call it today. It was about whether or not when you frack a well hydraulically, that fracture will cross the boundary line of the property and invade somebody else's property. If so, what are the consequences of that? So it's very appropriate for today's controversy about fracking and what is its significance.
You no doubt went back and reviewed that. In this present age, what did you think about your paper then?
Well, I felt even more strongly that it was appropriate that it can cross property lines, but unless it damages somebody else's property, then it's not an actionable tort.
You graduated top of your class?
Graduated top of my class.
That had to bring on law firms that were interested in you.
Yes, I had an offer from an outstanding law firm in Oklahoma City, one of whose members was Eugene Kuntz, who was my oil and gas instructor. He and I developed a very strong relationship. He thought I had a bright future because I'd written this article for him. I just determined that I really didn't want to go to Oklahoma City. I was rather determined to come back home to Tulsa. I saw this as a way to get back to Tulsa, where I love the city. I did get an offer from Amerada, a fellow named Joe Morris, who later became general counsel for Shell Oil Company and also a United States District Judge. Joe offered me a job with Amerada, but again, I didn't want a corporate job. I wanted to practice law in private practice and essentially have an opportunity to be my own boss. So I declined that. And a fellow that I had known from high school, who was a classmate of mine named Lewis Mossberg, had won all sorts of honors at OU Law School. He'd graduated number one in his class. He'd gone to Oklahoma City and had created a practice of representing people who sold drilling participation units. Lewis was recognized as the leading attorney in the entire country in doing drilling projects. He offered me the opportunity to open up a Tulsa office and join George Bowen, who had retired from Sun Oil Company, come out of his retirement, and the two of us open an office for Lewis's firm in Oklahoma City.
You opened it here in Tulsa.
We opened that here in Tulsa.
What a thrill that had to be for you to do this with George Bowen.
George Bowen was literally a saint, in my opinion. He was a leader in the Presbyterian Church, and during the time that we were together, he was elected moderator of the Presbyterian Church of the USA, which is the highest office any layman can ever hold in the church. George was also a commissioner on uniform laws. He was one of two. The other commissioner from Oklahoma was Maurice Merrill, who was professor of law at Oklahoma University and was considered the leading constitutional lawyer probably in the country. He and George Bowen to be commissioners of uniform laws, and for me to be in practice with George was just a thrill for me. He taught me how to practice law, and he taught me to avoid the use of legalisms, using the word said, aforesaid, and heretofore. You know, all the legal jargons that so many lawyers lapse into. George taught me to speak plain English and how to communicate without being lawyer-like.
How about that class of 63? Were there some notable graduates?
There really were. Larry Derryberry became Attorney General of the state. He was one of my dearest friends. Andy Coates. Andy and Larry and I were all three on the moot court team, which was quite an honor. We participated against other teams in other universities around the country. Andy Coates became city attorney for Oklahoma City. He became mayor of Oklahoma City, and he ran for United States Senate and unfortunately did not win. Don Nichols is the one who prevailed in that race. Andy was the Democrat, and the Republicans were just beginning to take control of the state at that time. So Andy lost. We had also a United States District Judge for the Eastern District. Frank C. was one of our classmates. So we had a dynamite class.